The principle of Christ, we are gradually coming to the end of this series, and I do hope that all of us here, our way of life and our way of seeing things will change by reason of the things that we are hearing. As a quick recap, we mentioned that there are two principles operating in the universe, the principle of obedience and the principle of rebellion. Jesus Christ symbolizes obedience, Lucifer symbolizes rebellion. Now, whoever is not in obedience at any particular moment is not properly aligned with the Almighty God. And any act of disobedience, no matter how little it is, it shows you to be a child of the devil. God, we have mentioned again and again, is not interested in our doctrine. God is interested in our principle. We've also mentioned that Satan is not afraid of our prayer, is not afraid of our fasting, is not afraid of our binding and casting and losing. What makes the devil afraid of the Christian is his or her obedience. Once you become obedient, the devil marks you out as a dangerous human being, because he knows that somebody who is obedient to God has authority over him. The Bible says that we can only punish every disobedience when our obedience is made perfect. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 6. So once your obedience is made perfect, you have perfect obedience over every evil spirit and over every situation. That is why the society you live in has been configured by the devil. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 6. That is why the society we are living in has been configured by the devil, that when you are disobedient, you are given recognition. When you show obedience, they make fun of you and they call you mumu. If they say, do this and you do it, they say, this boy is a mumu. If they say, do it and you say, no, I will not do. Ah, Emike, you need that. And then they say, ah, that guy is tough. Why? It is part of the strategy of the devil to make disobedience fashionable, to make disobedience acceptable. So long as man is disobedient, he is under evil spirits. Last Sunday, we went a step further. We started looking at the spiritual dimension of disobedience. And we saw that disobedience is seldom a character trait. It is seldom an evidence of lack of home teaching, so to say, good upbringing. If somebody is disobedient, it does not mean that the person did not come from a good family. There are people who came from riotous families that are doing very well in life. And there are people that came from orderly, disciplined family that are so rebellious, you don't want to touch them. Now we see from Ephesians chapter 2 that there is a spirit that is working in people that makes them disobedient. We read that in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 to 3. And we saw that the name of the evil spirit is called the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now works in the children of disobedience. So anytime you show any act of disobedience, that is the spirit that is working inside of you. And we also mentioned that simply by breathing in and out, we make contact with that evil spirit on a second per second basis. That is why each one of us must be conscious. And I want to encourage us this morning, train yourself to be obedient. Train yourself to be submissive. Now that you know these things, train yourself. Begin to consciously work on yourself, that no matter what it will cost me, I will be obedient. That way, you will shorten a lot of sufferings in your life. Like we learned this morning in the Sunday school, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8 says that even though Jesus was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. 40 days. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness, learning the same thing. David spent 3.5 years learning the same thing. Apostle Paul spent 3 years in Arabia learning the same thing. How to be made perfect and be a vessel for God in their generation. Saul did not spend 1 day. He failed woefully. Solomon did not spend 1 day. God gave him more wisdom than anybody. God told him, before you, there will be no one as wise as you. After you, there will be no one. Now you will have thought that a man who had the fullness of wisdom will not mess up. He messed up terribly. So bad that because of him, God destroyed the nation. Because of Solomon. He did not spend 1 day in the wilderness. Now, your own wilderness experience, it is not a curse. Don't allow people to put fear in you that every problem you are going through, that is a devil. There is no devil anywhere. It is God. Are you playing along with me? The only time you see the devil is when you are disobedient. And that is the time you yourself, you open the door for the devil to come in. That's the only time there is the devil. Your trials, your tribulations, your persecutions, this situation that you are in that is making you afraid, that is making you angry, that is making you upset, the Almighty God put you there. It's not the devil that put you there. If it is the devil, you will die there. It is God. No temptation has overtaken you, except that which is common unto man. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond. He knows when you reach the end of your endurance. He knows. He will give you a breathing space. Where you breathe a little and say, hey, thank God. Then he will increase the fire. Amen. All to make us perfect. The purpose of God is to look at you and see a replication of Jesus Christ. That is all God wants. He wants to look at you. He wants to see a replication of Jesus Christ. God does not want to look at you and see a replication of Bill Gates. It is the pastors who are telling you that. He doesn't want to see. He doesn't want to look at you and say, hey, yeah, my son is not looking like Dangote. Or my son is not looking like Benny Adedola. He's loaded with cash. He doesn't want to see that. He wants to look at you and say, just 2 weeks more, he will look exactly like Jesus. He will speak like Jesus. There is only 2 things that we still need to use fire to purify. That's all. And as he's working in each one of us. So the earlier we understand it, the better it is for us. Because we cannot come this far and end up in hellfire. I pray that we shall not end up in hellfire in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We mentioned last Sunday that rebellion, disobedience is the gate for witchcraft spirit. So Samuel told Saul, rebellion is as witchcraft and stubbornness is as idolatry. Maybe you look at yourself and you have discovered instances in which you are stubborn. I want to encourage you from today, don't be stubborn. Don't be stubborn and don't be disobedient. Don't be rebellious. It is the same as being a witch. If you are a woman and a warlock, if you are a man, I've been corrected that a male witch is a warlock. It is the female that is a witch. Male. A male that carries witchcraft spirit is warlock. The woman who carries witchcraft spirit is a witch. Do you understand? If it is the man who has witchcraft spirit, it's a warlock. That's the masculine of it. No. Those who are still in school say it is not wizard. They say it is warlock. They opened the dictionary for me to see. And they were so happy that I didn't say it in their school. Or else, they will have been in trouble because all their friends will have. So it is warlock. It's you to, I need to tell you so that you won't say it in a school. Praise the Lord. Now, we mentioned that rebellion is the gate for witchcraft. People don't just receive the witchcraft spirit. They must open a door. And the door is disobedience and rebellion. So it is very, very serious. We also mentioned that there are two categories of witches. There are people who are witches and they know they are into witchcraft. And there is the other category who are witches, they do not know. They are called blind witches. And one of the gates that lead people into blind witchcraft is rebellion. And the second one is adultery. We'll talk about that another time. The one we are looking at today is rebellion. So don't end up a witch, and God will sustain you to the end in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, let's continue. Rebellion sealed the fate and the destiny of King Saul. The moment Saul allowed disobedience to enter into his life, the moment he allowed rebellion to enter into his life, his destiny changed. The direction of his life changed. Ask people, people who have looked back into their life 30 years ago, 40 years ago, some of them are now sober and they say, ah, if only I had listened. Ah, some will not be able to say it out. But inside of them, ah, if only I had agreed with what they told me in secondary school that time. Ah, if only I hadn't fought that my boss. Some women would be, ah, if only I had agreed when they were begging me and I didn't pack out of my husband's house. If only I didn't pack out that time. Some will say, ah, if only I had listened to my mother. My mother warned me. Oh. The moment disobedience enters, the direction of the life of that individual changes. And listen, when God is going to speak to you, because God speaks to everybody, whether you are a believer or you are unbeliever, God speaks to everybody. Like we mentioned earlier, God speaks through delegated authority. God can speak to you through your teacher. He can speak to you through your mother. He can speak to you through your manager in the office. He can say, no, don't do it like that. This is how you should do. This is the step you should take. And you say, no, that's why I am appealing to you. Don't be stubborn. Be willing to be persuaded to change. Are you following along with me? You have made up your mind, you want to do something. You have made up your mind, this is how I'm going to do. There is nothing anybody can say. Let there be someone who can say. Listen. Listen, don't be stubborn. Stubbornness is like idolatry. The moment you are stubborn, God categorizes you as an idol worshiper. It has nothing to do with you again. Be willing to exhibit the wisdom that is from above. Please, let's go to James chapter 3, verse 17. We live in a generation in which there is a lot of oppression, a lot of cheating. And there are instances in which you will be provoked. Provoked so much that you are ready to kill, to fight for yourself. And then somebody comes up and says, hey, I know they have cheated you, but take it easy. Take it easy. Don't get angry. Don't do what you are supposed to do. That person, it is God speaking to you. Don't be stubborn. There are people that their identity is stubbornness. You don't know that boy, he's a stubborn boy. You don't know that woman, she's very stubborn. That's dangerous. James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The wisdom that is from above. God says it is easy to be entreated. You can easily appeal to him. You can easily say, I know what they have done is wrong, but Mabinu, don't be offended. Calm down. Calm down. Don't say, no! You don't know how it feels. It is because it is not true. It is, no. I will not agree. From that moment, you have changed the direction of your life. That was what happened to King Saul. He was stubborn. From that moment, the trajectory of his life changed. And he could never get back on the right path again. The moment Saul opened the door for rebellion, that very moment, Satan took over his life. Count in the Bible. Saul made 21 attempts on the life of David. 21 times. He tried to kill David. Again and again. He was now operating on auto. It was now an automatic thing. He was no longer in control. You know, an amazing thing I found in the scriptures. Please, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 26. I found something very amazing there. 1 Samuel chapter 26. We shall read verse 21. First Samuel 26, verse 21. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thy eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly. Do you understand what Paul is saying? Verse 21. He has been trying to kill David again and again, again and again, again and again. Saul himself is now asking himself, why am I doing this? Why? What has this young man done to me? Why? Why am I running after him? So he told David, I'm a fool. I have erred, not small, exceedingly. that I'm doing doesn't make sense. Are you getting my point? Saul himself recognized that what I'm doing doesn't make sense. Or even that would be getting one shape. David, I shouldn't be doing this. After saying this, Saul went back, pursued David again. Are you following me? A witchcraft spirit has entered into King Saul. He was no longer in control. That spirit, the prince of the power of the air, has taken over Saul. Saul knew that what he's doing is wrong, but he was helpless to stop himself. Why? Stubbornness, rebellion. As a Christian, you must not be disobedient. As a Christian, wherever you get to, identify who has authority there and submit. Listen, God is the one who is going to fight for you. God is the one who is going to fight for you. I can share some things, some experiences that we have had. On more than one occasion now, I have seen God kill somebody because of me. I can trace it back to what somebody did, and God killed the person. I have seen an ambassador deported. The only time ambassador will be deported in Nigeria, ambassador was deported. I trace it back to what the ambassador did to me. I have seen God take action, but it does not happen overnight. Are you following along with me? At times it will take years. I remembered one I was telling my wife a few days ago, if you will remember, a Bible passage just played while we were inside the car, and I stopped the CD player. Then I reminded her the story that a pastor did some things to us, and I took his case to God, and God told me 3 years. And at exactly 3 years, that pastor died. Terrible death. I have seen things that God will do if we are willing to wait and allow him to fight. I'm not saying that it is going to be easy when they are taking away your rights, when they provoke you to be disobedient. It's not going to be easy. And that is why you need to train yourself, understand this thing, that you must not respond in rebellion, you must not respond in disobedience. The wisdom from above must come in. Somebody fly along with me. When we go back again to the case of Saul, we will see there something that we have not considered before. Samuel told Saul, for rebellion is as witchcraft. And we have seen in 1 Samuel 26:21, Saul himself saying, I'm a fool for doing this thing now. Why am I doing this? Haven't we asked ourselves, the anointed of the Lord, the one upon whom God appointed in his generation, spent the last night of his life in the house of a witch? Has it not occurred to you? How did he get there? The last meal that Saul ate in his life, a witch cooked it for him. His last supper, so to say, was with a witch. Then after he finished eating with a witch, he now went to the battle to go and fight the Lord's battle. What brought Saul to that despicable situation? Let's begin to trace it back, trace it back, trace it back, trace it back, we get to rebellion. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we will not open the door for disobedience. Because situations are going to come up in our lives that will provoke, that will seduce, that will push us to rebel. Be willing to be placated. Be willing to be entreated. Be willing to let go, even though you are wrong. Are you here along with me? Never respond with rebellion. For those of you who are doing artisan work, for those of you who are working in the office, for those of you who are working in shops, wherever you are, for the wife, for the child, for the husband, at whatever level, whenever authority is abused over your life, respond with submission and let God fight for his authority. Because that authority, like you mentioned, belongs to God. God simply delegated it. In closing, once a believer loses obedience, he loses Christ. Period. Once a believer loses obedience. In fact, who was telling us this? Funny, were you there when somebody was telling us about an area pastor that slapped the car park attendant? Somebody was telling me this. It was just a few days ago. Oh, it was Tokwe that was telling me in the office on Friday. At the car park. You know, I shared the story here before. That a pastor gets to the car park and the car park attendant says, "Pastor, you can't park there." This one, a brother was telling me on Friday, that the area pastor got to the church car park and wanted to park, and the car park attendant said, "No, you cannot park there. Pastor, please, you have to go and park down there because we are trying to rearrange this place." And the area pastor said, "You must be stupid," and slapped the brother. Then after that, he will go mount the altar and preach the gospel. Preach what? You are a child of the devil. You have just shown the character and the principle of Lucifer. And he said, "Well, how can that happen?" Somebody said, "What do you mean? You've not seen two area pastors fight themselves here at over parking space." Because all these things are around us, we are tempted to think it is approved. Now, what do you expect a young convert to do when he sees an area pastor slap a car park attendant? When he gets to his office and he's the manager, he will slap his messenger and say it is allowed. You can even call it spiritual warfare. And say he had a dream that one is a witch or something. Once a believer loses obedience, he loses Christ. Once a believer loses obedience, he receives the prince of the power of the air. That is no other way. And once a believer or a human being receives the prince of the power of the air, he or she has been recruited into witchcraft. And I wonder how a witch now makes heaven. Now that we are a Christian, let everybody bear testimony that you are meek, you are gentle, you are submissive, you are easily entreated. Anything other than that, you are not a Christian. Let it never be said of you that you are stubborn, you are implacable, you are hard. Nobody can reason with you. You are fixed in your way. Let it not be said of you. They are indirectly saying you are a child of the devil. For people who understand, who are spiritual, they will know the moment they say, "This one is stubborn. If I am there, And I hear such a thing, I will just say, oh, you are saying this one is going to hell. That is how I read it. It's like if you tell somebody in my presence, it's your flesh that is worrying you. You are simply telling the person, to me, I will decode it, you are going to hell. It depends on your understanding. Are you going along with me? Let us be obedient. Holiness is obedience. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 14 to 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Obedience is holiness. May God keep you till the very end in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You want us to read it in that? Let me have it. Okay, let's read it in the Living Bible, verse 14. First Peter, obey God because you are his children. Don't slip back into your old ways, doing evil because you knew no better. But be holy now in everything you do, just as the Lord is holy, who invited you to be his child. He himself has said, you must be holy, for I am holy. Let's bow our heads in prayer and ask God for grace to be submissive. Grace to be submissive. Grace to be submissive. Grace to be submissive.